In Mark chapter 4, the disciples have an experience on the Sea of Galilee where it's a major storm, and they wake Jesus up, and he says, "Why are you so afraid?" And that's what we're going to look at today. Why are you so afraid? This week, I received a letter that made my heart want to stop, and you've received these letters potentially also. It was from the IRS. You know, I wish that I could train myself. The first thought I'd had when I get a letter from the IRS is, oh, they want to send me more money. But it's almost always, oh, no, did I do something wrong with my taxes? Are they coming after me? Did they garnish my wages? What's wrong? It turned out it was just we filled out the FAFSA for Matthew. That's the Federal Free Aid for Financial Student Aid or something like that. It was something for going to college that I only have to do one more year. But it just said, you know, they accessed my IRS records, and the IRS has to tell me that. So I was off the hook. But, you know, from walking to the mailbox into the house and going, oh, no, I got a letter from the IRS, I almost didn't want to even open the letter, because fear does that to you. It has a tendency to be debilitating and disabling and destructive to your emotions. And it's a part of human existence, and you have things you're afraid of. I could tell you what you're afraid of, but you know what they are. The other day I moved a cabinet, and this monster daddy long legs was crawling down the wall, and Matthew was with me, and he has an older little sister who would get panicked about spiders. She'd yell, and I had to come down and kill the spider. And sometimes they had to pretend I killed the spider, because those things are fast. And sometimes they've disappeared. I say, I got it, don't worry. You know, you don't have to worry, it's not going to come after you. And besides that, did you know you're bigger than a spider? That you can squash them with your thumb. No, I can't do that, it's going to bite me. Most spiders have really, really small mouths. Just case in point, most spiders can't bite you. Stay away from the brown recluse, though. We all can be afraid. And you know what? Fear is one of the things that the devil uses against us. He would like us to be stuck in fear. He would like us to be paralyzed, afraid to do things, afraid to take a step forward, afraid to speak without notes. But you know what? Jesus asks us this pointed question. Why are you so afraid? The text is found in Mark chapter 4, and we're actually going to cover a lengthy passage of Scripture this morning, the end of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5, because as I read these passages, it's divided up into four different incidents, and I thought, well, I can do four sermons out of that. I can do two sermons out of it. I can do one out of it, and I decided on one, but that means you're going to have to pay attention, and I'm going to have to try not to speak really fast so you can understand what I'm saying. So Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, and said to one another, "Who then is this? even the wind and the sea obey him. Why are you so afraid? The disciples are facing this massive storm. And Jesus shows them that during the storms of life, he is in control. It's the first lesson for us. During the storms of life, Jesus is in control. At least four of these men were fishermen, professional fishermen. They had fished on this particular lake many times. They'd even done so at night. Now, as a side note, as far as I'm concerned, the best type of fishing is ice fishing. That's where you reach into the freezer and fish out some ice. But these guys were after fish normally, and now they're on this lake and the wind comes up, and actually, having sailed on the Sea of Galilee, it's not even that large of a lake. There are much larger lakes in Minnesota. And I'm not talking about the Great Lakes, like, but just normal fishing lakes where you go water skiing and fishing for those inedible things that swim around in there. These guys are out there and the wind comes up and the text says that the boat is filling. It's not filling with fish. It's getting filled with water. They can't bail it out as fast. And Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping on the cushion. Oh, that we could be like Jesus in the middle of storms. It's kind of an interesting thing because you know what the disciples were doing when this storm came up? They were sailing, right? No, the point is they were doing exactly what God told them to do. They were doing exactly what Jesus said. Let's go to the other side. So they get in a boat and they do what Jesus tells them to do when this storm in life comes along. And you can be in the center of God's will, doing exactly what you believe God wants you to do and have an incredible storm fill your life. Figuratively, whatever the storm is in your life, it's not necessarily because you did something stupid. You did do something stupid, but it might not be related to the storms in your life. You can be in the center of God's will and face incredible storms, and Jesus says, I am in control still. Even in the midst of the storms of life, he is still in control. Jesus asks the disciples, after they wake him up, he says, peace, be still. And then he says to the disciples, now exactly why are you afraid? What's wrong with you? Do you lack faith? Have you forgotten who I am? They were just beginning to discover who he was. When he says, peace, be still, even though Jesus says, why are you afraid? What's the next thing the text tells us? They were filled with fear. Even the wind and the sea obey him. Quite frankly, if the storm didn't fill them with fear, the fact that the guy sitting in the boat with them could instantly, just like that, change the weather really freaked them out. But if they had really understood Jesus, their fears would subside because even and maybe especially during the storms of life, Jesus is always in control. We just need to trust him. I don't know today what storms you're facing in life. I don't know what things are overwhelming you, making you want to call out and say, save me. I would suggest that Jesus would say to you, why are you afraid? I'm still in control. Let's turn on in our text to Mark chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 20. So they've been in the boat. Jesus is calming the storm. And then verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs in the herd, and numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. This is the word of the Lord. Imagine the tormented life that this man lived. He was a man who lived in an absolute world of hurt, of pain, and stress. And along with him, many in the region shared in his pain. They had tried to bind him and help him to no avail. And this incident reminds us that during the stresses of life, Jesus is still in control. The picture of this man is a picture of an unbelievably tortured life. Now, I doubt that any of you here have experienced the type of torture that this man experienced. Reading through this text, you recognize nothing has gone well for this individual. He has been bound and he breaks the chains. There is no one strong enough to bind him. It is unlikely that any of us will ever face the type of oppression that this man faced. He lived among the tombs. He cut himself with rocks. The text tells us that no matter how bad your life might be, Jesus is in control. And in this particular incident, he casts legions of demons out of this man, and they go into 2,000 pigs. It strikes me that's a lot of bacon that most of the Jews couldn't eat until after the resurrection. The people come to see what happened. In verse 15, our text tells us that they were afraid. Is it any wonder why they were afraid? Everybody in the region knew of this individual. They knew the stresses of his life. They knew that he was demonized. They knew that no one could control him. They knew that they didn't want to be close to him because he was the strongest man in the area, not his own strength. And so they asked Jesus to leave the area. Can you imagine that? They see a man who's been living in the stress of life, and Jesus cast out demons, and the first time they've ever seen him sitting there in peace, fully clothed, not frothing at the mouth, not tearing at himself. And they say, let's get rid of the guy who did this. If he's able to be in control in a situation where nobody's ever seen anybody control, we're too afraid. And Jesus would ask, I would say he'd ask this, why are you afraid when you're facing stresses in life? When it feels like your life is falling apart, when it feels like there's nothing going on, going the way it should go, Why are you afraid? During the stresses of life, Jesus is in control. No matter how bad things seem, Jesus is in control. Now let's turn to Mark 5:24. We're skipping a couple of verses. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. So we're going to start at verse 24. A great crowd followed him. And by the way, this is happening. Jesus has gotten in a boat, gone through the storm, lands on either side. He meets the demoniac at Gerasenes, and now he's come back, and he's been on the boat again, and he gets out of the boat, and he's walking around the crowd, and a great crowd follows him and thronged about him. You see, word has gotten out. There's something incredible about this individual. And although some people are afraid that he's able to cast out demons, and many people want to say, what's going on here? He's able to heal people. We've seen the withered hand. We've seen in Mark, we've seen all these incidents. And so there's a crowd that's gathered around, and they've thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a hemorrhage, a discharge of blood, for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I can even touch his garment, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. This is the word of God. Are you beginning to notice the thread here? The disciples were afraid in the boat. The people were afraid next to the demoniac. And now this poor woman who touched the robe of Jesus is afraid. She's going to be asked to reveal herself. Jesus asks again, why are you afraid? This lady had been sick for 12 years. I don't know about you, but I can hardly stand to be sick for a day. 12 years. This miracle reminds us that during the sickness of life, Jesus is in control. 12 years is a long time. I'm guessing that about the time that she saw Jesus and in hope reached out and touched his garment, she had given up all hope that any doctor anywhere would help her. If she lived in this day and age, she was probably told time and time again, it's all in your head. There's nothing really wrong with you. We can't help you. Suffering the sickness of life. She had spent all that she had in search of a cure, and she had just gotten worse and worse. But she had hope because she heard about Jesus. Hope that when she touched the garment of the Savior, she would be healed. It takes some incredible courage to act on your hope. She pushes her way through the crowd. They're gathered around Jesus, many of them probably touching Jesus, not even recognizing the incredible power that could flow from that man if they just had faith. And you can imagine her pushing people aside, trying to get through. Excuse me, excuse me. And she kept getting closer and she reaches out in both anticipation and fear. What if she's wrong? Touches him. She recognizes that she's made whole. And then the horrible happens. Jesus stops and says, whoa, who touched me? I can imagine if I'm in that situation, as soon as I touch Jesus and he stops, I'm going to try to recede back in the crowd and get as far away as possible. And he says, who touched me? And I'm just hiding behind people and hoping that he doesn't see me. And yet this woman in fear and trembling steps forward and says, it was me. I don't know what sicknesses you face. I know some of you have faced sickness for much of your life. Sickness does some strange things to you. It gives you all sorts of fears. I remember in 1988 when the doctor sat with me and my wife and said, well, you've got lupus. And I said, what does that mean? And the doctor sat there with a straight face and said, well, the average person that gets diagnosed with lupus lives 5 years. I remember going to the doctor when my son broke his arm. They took x-rays and sat in the office and he said, you know, the x-rays show he's got some lesions on his arm. And I said, what does that mean? And he actually said, I don't know. And I said, well, you're the one who said it. There's a better chance that you're going to know than I'm going to know. What does it mean? And he said, he's got cancer. Sickness does some amazing things to you. The fears well up within you. This lady with 12 years of bleeding touches the garment of Jesus. And Jesus responds with a message for all of us today. Even in the sicknesses of life, He is in control. He's in control. You know, if we really understand who Jesus is, we really understand His incredible love for us, the fears which so often accompany illness will fade away because we know that He has our best interest at heart. He is always in control. Let's look on in our text at a final lesson. We're going to begin with verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about Him, and He was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing Him, he fell at His feet and implored Him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live. Now move down to verse 35. When He was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher, my friend? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. And He allowed no one to follow Him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when He had entered, He said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at Him. But He put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with Him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, He said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And He strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God. You know, the range of emotions which must have flowed from this father's heart are incredible. The fear of an illness would take his child drove him to find Jesus and ask that Jesus come and lay hands upon him. And then while he's talking, before Jesus has had a chance to come, the report comes that she is indeed dead. And then Jesus comes along and shows us that during the sadness of life, He is in control. You know, there are four times in the Scripture when Jesus encounters death. The most famous of those is, of course, his own death. And you know what happened after he died? He rose again! We got Easter! We got bacon! But he also encountered Jairus' daughter, and she's died, and he goes, and he raises her from the dead. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus is walking down the street, and he happens to run into a funeral procession where they are getting ready to bury the son, the only son, of a widow. And guess what happens? Jesus brings him back to life. In John chapter 11, the second most famous of the events that Jesus encountered death is when Mary and Martha send for Jesus because Lazarus is sick. And by the time Jesus arrives back in Bethany, Lazarus has been buried for 4 days. And what does Jesus say? He says, roll away the stone. I don't care if it stinks in there. Roll away the stone. Come on out of there, Lazarus. Come on out. Let's have a party. Whenever Jesus encountered death, there was resurrection. I tell you this, in the sadness of life, we hold on to the fact that there is a resurrection coming. Amen? We may die. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one who believes in me will remain dead. Everyone, even though he dies, will live again. Observing the sadness, the weeping of the widow, of Jairus' home, of Mary and Lazarus, of you and me, Jesus says, even in the sadness of life, I am in control. Death is for Jesus, but an opportunity for resurrection. Anyone who believes in him, even though he die, yet he will live. We started this message with a question Jesus asked his disciples. Why are you afraid? During the storms of life, remember this, Jesus is in control. During the stresses of life, remember this, Jesus is in control. During the sickness of life, remember this, Jesus is in control. And during the sadness of life, remember this, Jesus is in control. If we really understand Jesus, our fears will be washed away because we know he is in control. Let's bow together. Our gracious and almighty God, we thank you for these reminders that Jesus is in control. Give us faith that we might remember and trust that Jesus is in control no matter what the situation of our life might be today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.